Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 6th in the year of our Lord, 2024. This is hour one of two, the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We reject revolution unless it's a peaceful revolution. Welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. I am Sam Bushman, and the good doctor is in the house. Dr. Scott Bradley with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Well, thank you very much. It's kind of a snowy morning in my neck of the woods. I don't know what the rest of your listeners are experiencing. I mean, is this global change or global warming? I guess I don't quite understand those.
It's global cooling, sir.
Yeah, in fact, you know, it's
they say May flowers, huh?
Yeah, May flowers. April showers bring May flowers. Anyway, yeah, I've been doing a little bit of reading lately. You know, we don't need to get off on this tangent. The fact I just, you know, looked out the window and I say, holy cow, it's end of the first week in May and we got snow. The idea that, it's warming and all this stuff, and then they change and everything. But if you go back and you look at the cyclical kind of modifications that have been made by the naysaying fear mongers.
You look at facts, you mean?
Yeah, you look at facts. Oh, okay. It probably is a little bit warmer now than it was in the, you know, first third of the 1800s.
Well, yeah, you create an urban jungle and you expect it to be warmer, right?
Well, you do, but here's the deal. We were just getting out of a mini ice age then. I mean, times in New England in the early 1800s, they never even had a summer. It was a foot of snow in July and stuff like that. In fact, some people had to migrate out of the area because they couldn't subsistence farm because it was so cold. The mini ice age was there. We're coming out of the mini ice age in the, you know, by the first third of half of 1800s, and yeah, it's warmer than it is there, but before that time, there really weren't any efforts to even begin to track.
Well, and here's the other question:
temperature.
Who really determines what the temperature ought to be? Too, when we say it's getting warmer or whatever else like that, who determines what the appropriate temperature ought to be?
Yeah, you know, that's a very good question.
For example, like in Utah, it's never got as warm as it did in Mexico City. Right,
that's a true story.
You know what are we talking about? What's the ultimate temperature? When is it too hot? You know, if the Mojave Desert gets hotter than it once was, but yet it's cooler everywhere else, does that mean it's too hot? Does you know, all I'm saying is, how do you even gauge that? How do you put parameters around what ought to be, so to speak? You know, they try to bring back all these things. I hear they're releasing these certain kind of snakes in the Everglades, and they're releasing these kind of wolves in the, you know, whatever, Montana, and they're releasing, they're populating whatever with this and that. I'm just thinking, if we did that, we would still have dinosaurs, right?
Well, if you could find one.
I'm just making a point, right?
Oh, I know, you are.
When is supposed to be the beginning and end of something according to God versus what man thinks or what man-made manipulations are, right? How do we even know that we're on target with whatever we... Why do we think we need more wolves in Montana? Oh, because they're going to go extinct. Okay, well, is that a bad thing?
Well, the elk are going extinct now. I mean, if you want to look at it that way, I mean, the elk are...
Yeah.
I've got family members that are rabid. I guess I shouldn't say rabid. That sounds like a disease.
Yeah, they don't have rabies.
They're rabid elk hunters, and
they're on it. That's for sure.
The wolves have decimated the elk herds, but these things, you know, you talk about who's to say. Well, virtually everything that's out there is a computer model, and the hockey stick, you know, graphs that we see, the temperature climbing, blah blah blah. The fact of the matter is that that's programmed. Garbage in, garbage out. You get out of a program. The program does not have an innate intelligence that can say, hey, wait a minute, you're a stupid fool for putting this in here. It can't do that. The program only says, you put it in, I give you the output. And everybody's going, well, okay, so let's look at CO2. I mean, that's what plants really thrive. I mean, that's what they breathe.
Yeah,
that's, they
can't have too much of that.
And if we got more people, we probably need to grow more groceries. So maybe corn and wheat and, you know, carrots and potatoes,
trees,
whatever, everything. Yeah. And then we got idiots, fools, buffoons that are saying we need to cut down the trees. We need to get rid of the cattle because they're flatulence and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, can't eat beef. You need to eat lab-grown something instead. Like, that's going to be a better, safer plan. How do they even know these things? How do we know if there's too many? Well, for example, we used to have a lot of buffalo, right?
Right.
Now we don't. What do we do? Are we going to just basically bring back buffalo everywhere?
I like buffalo, but, you know, they just kind of don't fit the format. They walk through barbed wire like a spider webs and stuff like that, you know?
Right.
I mean,
so that's what I'm kind of getting across is that how do we determine what is appropriate? How many wolves do we need? How many, buffalo do we need? Or how many this or that? And I just think, why do we think we know? How do we even determine or decide we've got to manipulate this or that outcome? I don't understand it.
Well, okay, Sam. Okay,
you're too hot. Something. Too many buffalo. No. Not enough wolves. What?
Sam, you're missing this one huge elephant in the room, and that is
they can't control
that our religion in this nation, and literally the world, is a secular, humanist, godless,
not mine,
man's wisdom philosophy. I know that, but here's the deal: we have brainwashed, we have propagandized the children for so many generations, including mine. I mean,
boy,
you know, but mine was, we said opening prayers in school and we did the Pledge of Allegiance and all that.
We need less people and more wolves, and it's too hot. Yeah, how do we know
we got the Greta Thunbergs that are saying, I know more than God. I mean, and we got a lot of people in government that do the same thing. And have you heard how they want to get rid of coal-fired plants for electricity, you know, by, you know,
yeah, but that ain't gonna work. Discussion. We can't even produce electricity more stably in any other way.
Well, here's the deal. California cannot keep up with their demand for their electricity.
Why don't we just demand California deals with their own electricity and they quit getting it from Utah and other places then? Just say you guys are on your own.
They do import from they want to burn the coal in Wyoming, let's say,
or Utah,
out in the desert in Utah. And they ship it down there. But here's the deal. They are cutting their own throat, and they say, oh, we got to have these EV cars. They can't even plug in their air conditioning half the time in the summer because there's not a juice. There's no juice in the wires, you know?
Yeah, so just add your car to it, you know?
Let's add 700,000 cars to it. I don't know what the number
is. It's like growing crops for fuel, and then you drive around hungry. I mean, it's crazy town.
Well, that, by the way, the people that I talk about that stuff always push back. Oh, you don't eat the kind of corn we turn into fuel.
Corn you would eat in that place grew the other corn if you didn't. Come on, how stupid do you think I am? Stop already.
They do think you're stupid. They do think that they know more than God. And they've been worshiping this God called man's wisdom, which very often is a computer program. Some other
trusting in the arms of flesh is the way they put it in the scriptures, by the way.
Right, they do.
It's nuts on parade. It's crazy town.
None of us seem, and really and truly, this idea of killing coal. See, Utah, I remember in eighth grade, we studied Utah history. And again, like eighth grade was a long time ago, Sam, but I can't remember if we had enough coal in Utah to provide for the world for 300 years or just the United States for 300 years.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter. I mean,
because there's a ton, and that's if we didn't discover any more along the way, right?
That's the problem, is that the most of the time we think we've got this constrained resource that there ain't going to be no more, and there's, you know, real, I mean, scientific discussion.
Well, God teaches us about this. He says there's plenty.
Enough and to spare. But the idea of running out of petroleum, I mean, there's some valid scientific research has been done and is being done about it's a renewable resource constantly being, you know, regenerated in the Earth's crust.
Yeah, Jerome Corsi wrote a book about that even.
Yeah. What happened to Jerome Corsi? I haven't.
He's still around. He's writing books. He's still around. He's just taking himself kind of out of the political sphere for a while. But I've interviewed him from time to time. He's a good guy and doing well.
We've spoken.
He hasn't even gone extinct or anything.
Like no, a dinosaur. I don't know how old Jerome is. I shouldn't say that, but he's a
about as dinosaurish as you are.
Maybe. I resemble that remark. Okay. Anyway,
all I can tell you is, folks, look, we've been absolutely deceived, brainwashed on a massive scale, whether it's global warming or cooling or climate change. whether it's, you know, fossil fuels and this and that. We've been lied to in so many ways, it's not even funny. I mean, for example, they call it fossil fuels as if somehow it just comes from dinosaur bones.
Well, that's the,
you know, how is that going to make sense, that enough bones could be used for literally, how long have we been using petroleum and stuff? Hold on, go ahead and skip the break. How long have we been using that kind of stuff?
Well, it started to come into ascendancy back in the 1800s.
Late 1800s, early 1900s?
Well, actually the mid-1800s, and they started poking holes in the ground. They found that there was a lot of stuff there that they could use, and you know, that dynamic changed America. It really,
yeah,
truly did.
Yeah, without question. All right, 150 years maybe?
A little more maybe, yeah.
Okay, 175, whatever the case may be. Well, I remember being a kid in the 70s, you know, 10, 15 years old, and they were literally saying, hey, we're about out of oil. And we've got more oil discoveries and more oil now than we claimed we had then, right?
Yeah, they had the Silent Spring stuff, and they had the...
Yeah, you could only buy gas on even or odd days based on your license plate. I remember that, right?
Well, that was manipulated based upon OPEC's thing. But what am I saying? Everything's man-manipulated. Are you kidding me? So
yeah.
So we have all of these manipulations and the Macrons of the world that are out there going to burn the world down without causing smoke. But yet they're going to destroy everything that we have that society is upheld by. I mean, you know what? A lot of people like to take a bath in warm water. How does it get warm, for crying out loud? Or they think about, you know, I like to have light so I can read my book by the, you know, the light of the moon, whatever. You know, I mean, you drive to work. Everything has petroleum in it. You look at the carpet on your floor. It's a petroleum-based product.
Well, and without it, what would society and what would things be like? Let's just say we were to, you know, capitulate to their demands and stuff. You know, I've even talked to these environmentalists about this stuff like that. They don't have a clue what it would be like. I mean, these people are driving around their EVs, right? But to plug it in and charge it, they're using a coal power plant to charge their EV, right?
Yeah, and Biden's made overtures, and I don't know if he remembers it, but he's made overtures about running all of our military vehicles off of a plug-in. I mean, they don't make extension cords that long. I mean,
why don't we just take power and plumbing away from the White House and just, you know, we can talk to Joe in a week or two.
Well,
why don't we just try it? Why don't we do a grand old experiment with the lead dog in charge? Just go ahead and take away the electricity, take away the, you know, don't eat any meat, of course. Take away all the electricity, take away plumbing because, you know, you can't have that. And then just, you know, see, we can talk to Joe in a week and say, hey, how's it going, buddy? And you know what? We're ready to follow suit one by one. We'd start with that. The next would roll to Congress, right? Supreme Court could go last because they might decide that it's folly. And then, you know, we can go there. Then we can eventually get to the people. What do you think?
It's like what I was told. Now, I wasn't at the meeting, okay, so I can't verify it, but I was told that at one of these town hall meetings, somebody says, well, what do we need farmers for? We got grocery stores. You know, it's like,
good point. Okay, yeah, don't need those.
The collective mentality has really gone down the hill. But that's the kind of stuff that we got going right now. And honestly, any one of these angles you play, whether it's going with clean, renewable fuel, I don't think there's ever been a single solitary wind generator that's paid for itself during its life cycle. It's worn out.
Well, it can't. It's impossible. Because even to create that wind generator, you got to get all kinds of metals and all kinds of different, you know, alloys and things like that. How do you get that out of the ground? And then once you get rid of that windmill at the end of the day, where's it going to go? How do you deal with it? It's the beginning and ending of the life cycle of a product that matters, too. It doesn't just decompose for a long time, right?
No. And on top of that, if you really stop and think about it, the cost to produce, just the financial cost to produce, I'm not talking about all of the adverse environmental things that cause to produce it, the financial cost to produce will never have a payback. It just doesn't.
Can you even produce it without electricity? Can you produce a windmill?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, so if you need electricity, is it coal-powered plant electricity producing your windmill then?
Well, it's the chicken and the egg kind of thing, I guess, but the EV cars are the same way, and the stuff that goes into them, I mean, the trinium and everything like that they use, holy cow, the rare earth stuff that goes in that they're pillaging and plundering around the world, they got third world little kids out rooting around in the dirt trying to find some for them, or the Utah legislature tries to set it up so that the Chinese can mine it out of our Great Salt Lake. I mean, it's like, holy Hannah, what are these buffoons thinking? Oh, it's going to be economic boon to the state of Utah. Wait a minute, you got coal, you guys. Let's just try and go with what we got sometimes. It's the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Sometimes the grass is greener where you water it, you know? And we've got to cultivate the resources that we have for the benefit. Now, again, there's people that say, man, coal's dangerous, it's dirty. There's technology to solve those problems. And we can fix this if we, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. Let's fix it instead of burning the place down and trying to start over from the Stone Age, you know? I don't know. It's weird.
You know, it reminds me of my buddy Pat Shannon. Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie is the name of his book that he wrote back in 2010. Yeah. And
it
I just look at that.
One.
Yeah.
Has he ever put a volume two out? Because I was waiting for volume two, but you know, I mean, everything.
That would be called Lies and More Darn Lies, wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie and then Lies and More Darn Lies?
Probably. Anyway.
It's
yeah,
just hard to deal with, true. Right?
Dan, I'll tell you, the pack of lies we've been told, I mean, you know, whether it's the Warren Commission or the 9/11 Commission or the review that was done on, you know, David Koresh's group down in Waco, or the stuff that was done on the Oak City bombing. I mean, any time the government touches anything, there's a spin put on it. But you look at the Gulf of Tonkin. You don't remember that, but...
Oh, I I've studied it, though. I know a lot about it. Sure. The USS Liberty and all that whole deal.
No, that happened in the 1967 Mediterranean thing with the Gulf of Tonkin was off of North Vietnam, and you know.
But when did that happen?
It's just 1965, I think, if I recall. 64, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go back and look. But at any rate. No, LBJ took that, ran with it, and says, you guys get out of my way. I'm going to have a war. We're going to kill 500,000 Americans there. We didn't. I mean, we killed 58,000, but it didn't matter to him. We just ran willy-nilly into it unconstitutionally. I mean, it's just one pack of lies after another, and we just put up with it. We don't ever question it. The narrative is sacrosanct or something. I don't know.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. All I can tell you is I don't know how to respond to this, but, you know, we're going to have to start debunking these lies to the American people. And I think the only way to do that is really, you know, speak truth to power. Americans need to wake up to the truth. I think they're slowly, slowly, slowly gaining the truth. The question is, what will they do with it once they get it, Doctor?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the basketball game stuff that ended in March, or there was this stuff called the Super Bowl, and we got this World Series. I pick a little bit on the bread and circuses concept because there's such an easy transition between, you know, the gladiator wars in the Coliseum and this, where we, you know, it's like, my team won. What do you mean it's your team? Do you own it? I mean, do you have stock in it? I mean, is it because you bought a pennant or you have a pair of colors like they wear?
I got the jersey.
Yeah, you got the jersey. In jersey. Anyway, the fact of the matter is people self-identify with things and they sit there and eat their corn chips or whatever the heck they're eating in front of the TV and they it's like we won or the Great Depression, we lost. And it's like we get distracted and diverted. We don't even come up in arms about the idiocy of the COVID con or a war in Ukraine that we're funding. We will not secure our own borders, and neither will anybody else that's like Macron and his wanting to send NATO in. Nobody's trying to secure our borders while we're trying to secure Iraq's borders and Afghanistan's borders and Ukraine's borders and Sudan's borders and whoever. I mean, it's like we are fools. Let's send bazillions of dollars to Israel. Not one solitary, not only constitutional things, but we don't have a justification for any of the things we're doing because everything is a lie. I think about Assad in Syria. the civil war that's been going on there for probably longer than your kids have been alive, and the fuel air bombs and everything else like that that they just up in arms about. They're dropping their own bombs. Assad's dropping bombs on his own civilians. No, it wasn't. They were false flag operations that I believe Israel had a big part to play in to encourage the United States to jump into Syria. We did. I mean, you look at what Obama did and what Trump did, all unconstitutionally. Not a shred of it is a constitutional basis, and it was based upon the falsehood. You look at Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction that didn't exist. I mean, he's going to launch an air attack against us. No, he can't get a Piper Cub off the air. Into the air without us knowing about it, shoot it down if we decided to. Every single stinking thing has been a false flag operation. I mean, the 9/11 report is a complete facade because it didn't talk about Building 7.
Yeah, you're right about that. And they had no real explanations for it. We, you know, even heard soundbites saying, pull it, a demolition term to get rid of the building. We know the insurance will take care of it. Just take it down. Who cares? And I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And we expose these truisms. And, you know, so far it seems to get nowhere. I mean, you even wonder if we went to the moon, Doctor.
Well, you do. But here's the deal. I mean, I've got a timeline I put together just on the COVID con. And what happened in Utah, it was very personal to us because we lived it. Freedom of religion, destroyed, gone, toast. Businesses, gone, toast. Lockdowns, you got put in prison, house arrest, without any due process. I mean, and the state brought in billions upon billions of dollars. Governor Herbert
declared a state emergency. Well, of fake dollars, because it was just created out of thin air. That's another, you know, the lies backing lies now, right?
It is, and that's why the economy is such toast right now. But when Governor Herbert declared the state of emergency, oh, my goodness, the nation hadn't declared that. No, they hadn't. That was about a week later. Utah was about 3 weeks away from its first supposed COVID death. You know, we're weeks away from the first death. I mean, if you declared an emergency every time somebody stubbed their toe or didn't stub their toe.
No, but they got intel that something was coming down the pike. That's why they did that. And we need to basically research the heck out of that and expose that and the transparency about communications from whom to whom, when, all that too, right?
I think churches and media and institutions of all sorts and sizes, academic people, government agencies. I think the thing in October that we all know that happened in October of 2019 was the tip of the iceberg. Everybody was well on board before that, but the exercises that happened about a global pandemic in October of 2019, everybody was pretty much on the docket, ready to go. Even then, and when they pulled it off in the early spring of 2020, everybody was in a row. Church leaders got in the row. They said, oh, we don't have a choice. We're going to shut down all of our meetings. We're going to do rid of our most sacred work that we could possibly do. You know, there was none of this, what is it, Acts chapter 5, when Peter and John got pulled before the authorities and they told them, quit talking about this guy, Jesus Christ. And they said, are you kidding? Is it better for us to obey you or him? I mean, religious leaders capitulated, rolled over, folded, and they walked away from it. And they said, we didn't have a choice. Yeah, you did. I mean, file a class action suit and every religion join it.
Well, hold on. About a little over 2 weeks ago, almost 3 weeks ago this Wednesday, we had an event at the Ahern Hotel, and we had a pastor and a sheriff that stood together in New Mexico, and that church never shut down. And the state police and everybody came to try to shut them down, and the sheriff deputized many members of the church, etc. And their church never shut down, Doctor. So this idea that you had no choice is a lie. And we proved it on the stage, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, if you want to go to CSPOA.org, you can see the speeches of the good sheriff and the pastor standing together. They tell you their whole story on stage. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA News. I'm Ryan Daniels. The latest round of ceasefire talks still stalled, with Israel and Hamas trading blame over the impasse. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said he cannot accept Hamas's demands to end the war in Gaza, despite earlier signs that negotiators were close to a compromise. A Hamas delegation departed Cairo Sunday with no deal after months of talks. The head of the World Food Program says tens of thousands are still facing famine and starvation in Gaza. Cindy McCain, on with NBC's Meet the Press Sunday, said a problem that's already been plaguing the north of Gaza is now spreading south.
And it's not just food. It's also sanitation, it's water, it's medicine, and it's still very difficult to get in.
Efforts to provide food aid have been met with both political resistance and violence. World Central Kitchen resumed operations in Gaza just last week after seven of its aid workers were killed. Pro-Palestine demonstrators continue to interrupt graduation ceremonies across the country over the weekend. USA's Laura Winters.
Back here in the U.S., pro-Palestinian protesters interrupt the University of Michigan graduation ceremony the demonstrators removed on Saturday. At the University of Virginia, police arresting 25 protesters and clear their encampment on the UVA campus.
Proceedings resume Monday in Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial in New York City. On Friday, Trump's former press secretary Hope Hicks testified to the jury about how then-candidate Trump was so concerned about his wife's reaction to a news story detailing affairs and hush money, he made sure newspapers were not delivered to his and Melania's home the morning the Wall Street Journal broke the news. Back in 2016, Trump is accused of falsifying business records to cover up payments to adult film star Stormy Daniels just prior to the 2016 election. This is USA.
Listen up, ladies and gents. Are you or a special someone taking prescription meds to treat ED? Everyone knows how well they can work, but did you know that with one free call, you can start saving hundreds of dollars on every prescription order? Gone are the days of paying $30 plus per pill. Now, for less than $2 per pill, you can get sildenafil, the active ingredient in your ED meds, in generic 20-milligram tablets. That's right. For less than $2 a pill, you can get the exact same results. Each order is discreetly delivered right to your door. There's even a money-back guarantee. Remember, you don't need to pay big prices to get big results. We'll save you hundreds of dollars on the exact same active ingredient. We deliver generic sildenafil for less than $2 a pill right to your door with a no-questions-asked money-back guarantee. Call right now at 1-800-273-4776. That's 1-800-273-4776. Again, 1-800-273-4776. Call right now.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
We'll be right back.
All right, we talked about Pat Shannon's great book, Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to learn more about that and Pat's other books, he's a dear friend. Haven't talked to him in a long time. I got to get caught up with dear friend Pat. PatShannon.us, his website, to check all that out. I got to move along to another topic, though. Chicago teachers unions, $50 billion in demands, ladies and gentlemen. The union is out of control. The teachers union, one of the biggest unions in the world. Abortions, migrant services, required gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and beyond training, gender-neutral bathrooms, and more. Paul Saga writes for TheBlaze.com with the details, and they say they're negotiating a new contract, and they got a lot of demands, $50 billion over the next 4 years, they say. They say, don't worry, it's over $50 billion, but it's no problem. It's Chicago, you know? To put the figure in context, ladies and gentlemen, the 2023 Illinois state budget, $50.4 billion. So they're literally demanding in, I don't know what you want to call it, demands matching the whole budget of the state. It is disaster. The Chicago Public Schools budget will exceed $9 billion this year, up nearly 30% from $7.4 billion only 5 years ago. They say that it's more than $21,000 per student, far above the $14,347 across the nation. They say, however, they're not doing too great at educating. Only 21% of the eighth graders were proficient readers, according to the most recent, quote, report card. This is disaster, and it's happening right now, Dr. Bradley. And if you don't capitulate, they will riot, and you just got to yank your kids out of government school and shut these cesspools down. It's the core of the problem in terms of the indoctrination and the deception and the lies in the first place. It's all centered in government-controlled education. Your thoughts?
Well, it's a kind of an adage nowadays, pay more, get less. I mean, we pay more for government that's less needed than it ever has been. But the fact of the matter is that the American educational system is probably the largest scam that's perpetrated upon this nation. I mean, you know, I know there's big scams like the Federal Reserve, and there's the Ponzi scam of the Social Security and all that kind of stuff. But we continue to pay in our little community. We just approved, and I may be off a little bit on the numbers. It's 135 million or 138 million. I mean, it's a new bond. We just approved the last election. We are fools. We are absolute fools. I drive by, and by the way, it's mostly driven by illegal immigration. I'm quite convinced of that. Our community, not just our community, but our county and literally our state, is an undeclared sanctuary state and community and county and so on. We, you know, the governor is saying, oh, we're with Greg Abbott in Texas. We are standing with against the illegals, blah, blah, blah. No, the welcome wagon has arrived and it's serving, you know, filet mignon. I mean, the education system, all they got to do is it's for the children. No, do it for the children to not go in debt. Don't go in debt. Your grandkids will be paying for this $138 million bond we just approved in my community. It's absolutely absurd. I mean, every time you turn around, there's another high school or a middle school or an elementary popping up in another neighborhood, and it's like, good heavens. And it's funny, in our neighborhood, well, actually, it's probably about three-quarters of a mile away, is a little log cabin schoolhouse that was the first schoolhouse in our community that was ever put together. Now, again, this was a century and a half plus ago. But it was very simple. It had a little wood-burning stove and a floor that was wood, and you had to sweep it every day. You know, the teacher and everybody worked together. They had little benches in it. The fact of the matter is the Taj Mahals we're creating nowadays with Olympic-sized swimming pools and stadiums with, they don't put a dome over them, but football fields and track fields and gymnasiums.
They don't put a dome over them yet. That's coming, sir.
Yeah, it is, because
at some point, because of global warming, the toxins will be so great, you'll have to live in these controlled, you know, systems that are isolated from the abuse of the, you know, earth, right?
But it doesn't.
And,
but
and they're eventually
they
going
run
there.
Run them on electricity, do they? Is do you think
they'll
need
electricity?
Well, yes,
they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's the problem is we have got, and the problem is that Illinois, we talk about, oh, it's a bad thing over there. I mean, that's a long ways away from us.
It's happening right here. Last week we just talked about this big scandal in Payson, Utah, where they had these furries going to school, attacking kids and scratching them, and then the school's denying it, and the battle's on. And it went all viral and everything else, and it's like these furries are at battle with the students, and the students led a protest, and students and parents were like 75 members strong protesting the school and walking out, and that's just right here in little old teeny town Payson, Utah there. And see, it's going on. But Elon Musk is out now sounding the alarm about America's national debt, so he's on the same page with Dr. Scott Bradley, warning that, quote, without action the dollar will be worth nothing. Alex Nixford, I think it is, with the article on this one. Wealthy businessman Elon Musk is sounding the alarm. Hey, if we don't do something about it, the U.S. dollar will become worthless, doctor, he says.
Well, you know, that's the whole problem is people don't realize that what causes inflation is simply the creation of money that's willy-nilly being happened. I mean, almost $36 trillion now. It's astonishing to me that people don't realize that. I mean, let's just go back to the COVID con that happened 4 years ago when they started sending out these checks that were just poof, they're here. We created the money out of thin air. That's why we don't have reasonable gas prices nowadays. That's why food prices have skyrocketed. That's why we're having trouble, our kids being able to, or grandkids for sure, being able to buy a home. I mean, we're almost $35 trillion of admitted debt, and what it does is it diminishes the purchasing power of the dollar every time we print another one of those, because there's more money chasing the same amount of goods, and it drives the prices up. I mean, I wish there were time to review sometimes. I teach classes to young people about the inflationary creation of money and the fractional banking system that we have. I mean, these things are facades that have been foisted upon us, and literally today, I mean, I think about what it cost. I remember the days that we could buy gas on occasion during gas wars for a dime a gallon. The regular price was 20, 22 cents a gallon, you know?
I remember being a kid when it went above 59 cents, my dad said, if it ever hits 60 cents, I'm not buying gas anymore. Course that was famous, you know. But I remember when it was 58, 59 cents a gallon.
Well, when I was a kid, I remember one day my dad was in a carpool. He came home from work. They let him off at the corner of the street. He walked home. And he came home one day. My mom met him at the front door, wringing her hands. She says, I put a dollar's gas in the car today. And dad said, a dollar? A whole dollar? You put a whole dollar in the car today? I mean, I thought, man, a dollar's a lot of money. Well, a dollar bought a lot more than it does now. I mean, and it was like, okay, if it's 20 cents a gallon, she put a 5-gallon drop in the car. And that's just the way it was. And people today.
Well, now a buck is worth, you know, if you look at a Silver Eagle silver dollar, it's worth about 35 bucks. So a buck has decreased in value 35 times about.
Yeah, is that what
35
the,
to 40?
Is that what a 90% silver or 100%?
No, that's a Silver Eagle silver dollar. 90% silver dollar is cheaper, probably 26 bucks or something. You know, it fluctuates, but it's in that range. Now, interestingly enough, Elon Musk is warning about the national debt, saying we've got to do something. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky has suggested that the national debt is the greatest threat to America's national security, and warned that we are threatening the very existence of our currency, perhaps even our country, because of this crazy profligate spending. It's even more so. More people are speaking out now. Quote, the national debt is the greatest threat our country faces, and we are rapidly approaching the, quote, crisis point. Who am I talking about? Believe it or not, Republican Senator Mitt Romney of Utah, Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Representative Bill Hughes, I don't know how to say his name. He was then a Michigan and Democratic rep. Scott Peters of California are all declaring this in an opinion piece. So people are starting to speak out on both sides of the aisle, starting to realize, but Ron Paul and Rand Paul and me and you and others have been talking about this forever, Doctor. Go ahead and skip the break.
Well, that's the problem, Sam, is that finally, if it becomes so apparent that the damned fools, and when I say damned, I mean those others blocked from God's presence, that's a scriptural reference, by the way, where those that are that have put us in that problem finally have to admit that it is a problem, then it's so apparent I have to sometimes wonder if it's even possible to kind of deflect it to the point we can save it. I mean, when those people are on, the ones that put us in this sinking Titanic say, oh, look at this, oh, ain't it awful. Well, why didn't you say that 50 years ago? Why didn't somebody wake up and start fixing this? But no, it's been a free lunch for everybody. And it, if we don't do something now, you can't wait until tomorrow. You can't wait until, you know, it's an hour from now, whatever. We've got to say, and look, you look at the fools that voted for billions of dollars to be shoveled out the door for the security of somebody else's borders with the greatest, you know, we export more, you know, instruments of death than any other 10 countries in the world. And we're shoveling it out, and you look at our legislative body that's doing that. I mean, the House could say, no, heck no, we ain't going to do this. But no, they don't. We get them voting as a block. Oh, look at this. We're going to help Israel. We're going to help Ukraine. We don't have a constitutional means to do it. We don't have a justification in any way, shape, or form. And we've been told lies to get us to the point we are now. The weapons of mass destruction in Iraq or whatever it was, they're all lies. It's just lies.
But more people are at least standing up admitting that we've got a serious debt crisis and we've got to rein it in. So what we've got to do is capitalize on and advance that reality check. It's coming from both sides of the aisles. You've got two senators and two representatives from both sides of the aisle standing on this thing. You've got Senator Rand Paul separately speaking out about this. We're starting to gain a little bit of ground. Is it enough? Not even close. But we, the people, can push that. And whenever any of your representatives, whether they be from the House or the Senate, come to your town, you know what? Go to the event and make sure when they speak that we really bring this up to them and say, listen, what are you doing about the debt? You know, Rand Paul put together a penny plan trying to save, you know, 1%. And it just went down in flames. Other people have tried to do things to decrease spending. But you know what? Mike Johnson just pushed through some of the massive spending bills. It's out of control. So the real question is, in the next presidency, who will make a difference? Will we decrease debt? Well, Donald Trump didn't decrease debt the first time. Who knows if he will the second time? But according to Bloomberg, the former president has limited his options to four top contenders for the VP pick, and I'm disappointed in all of them. Here they are. North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Is he Republican? On your radar, Sam? Anyway,
no.
Go ahead.
Republican J.D. Vance of Ohio, Marco Rubio of Florida, and Tim Scott of South Carolina. Now, listen, the Trump campaign, though, has made it very clear that they have not made any decisions yet. The Trump campaign pushed back hard against the reporting with the senior advisor saying anybody who claims to know what Trump's going to do that isn't Trump is lying. So you got those four names being floated. Then they say, hey, that's a lie. We don't know yet. Trump hasn't picked. But then another headline says this: Tim Scott and Doug Burgum climb in Trump's media rankings. AmericanNewsNation.com with that piece. So I don't know what's going on here, but every name that I've heard that Donald Trump is floating, in my opinion, so far is an absolute disgrace. They say Kristi Noem was in the mix till she killed her dog and all these other goofy kind of things. Nobody that I would even consider as being, put on the table. They've talked about this, oh, what's her name, this girl, Elise Stefanik, and she's, you know, doing well, and they talk about all these different... None of these people are worthy of being the vice president, in my opinion. So, again, it's the clown show when you see who Donald puts around him, Doctor.
Oh, man, there's so many things to talk about here. But the fact of the matter is that the office has become an office of lessors, actually. And it has been that way for probably a century and three quarters. But the point of the matter is that it's degraded since then. I will say one thing. While I haven't done a background check on any of these people, and I guess I got to dig in and look, my gut reaction is that all of these people that are mentioned are probably constitutionally qualified based on the natural born citizen and the 12th Amendment. So that would be one thing that most people don't pick. I mean, you look at what Joe Biden's got and probably what RFK Jr.'s got constitutionally in the tradition of the founding fathers. You got to have a natural born citizen but Biden's served 4 years without one, and I you say, holy cow. Anyway, I think it's interesting. And as somebody said, if you're not Trump, you don't know what Trump's thinking. Maybe he doesn't. But the point of the matter is that these are names that are being kicked around, and I can see real downsides to
every one of them are political operatives that have been in business forever. And if you want to basically just embrace the deep state with Donald round two, I guess that's the plan they can choose. But I'm against that. I don't think that has any validity whatsoever. Now, the Trump campaign is also suing Nevada over the law allowing mail ballots to be counted 4 days after the election. Leif LeMathieu, DailyWire.com, with this piece, and they say the Republican National Committee, alongside the Trump, quote, presidential campaign, filed a lawsuit on Friday against Nevada for the mail-in ballot scandal. The suit, also joined by the Nevada Republican Party, I guess, is challenging the Nevada law, basically saying, look, this is unacceptable that you can, put ballots in 4 days after the election. According to the lawsuit, they say this law basically runs counter to violating general election laws and disproportionately harms Republicans. Now, I understand why they want to go after this, but I think this is a clown show because, again, if you're not very careful, what you'll do is you'll say, well, federal law trumps state law in elections. Usually elections have been a state question. They're trying to force this to go national, and the Republicans are willing patsies in this agenda, Doctor.
Well, indeed. In fact, the original intent of the American Founding Fathers was that the elections were to be run in states. Article 1, Section 4, go read it again. And Congress could only intervene if states decided they weren't going to send somebody to the national government. Everything the general government has done has been a usurpation since that time in terms of the elections. But here's the deal. I remember, personally, reasonably, without any strain at all, we had rotary dials on our telephones, and every vote got counted, even if it took well into the night. I mean, I remember the Nixon-Kennedy vote.
Yeah, but you can't count votes or declare the winner if you got people voting 4 days late and stuff.
You're right. This is a facade. It should be one day, one vote, you're done. One and done.
In person.
We're done.
On paper.
In person with
ID. Under cameras.
On paper. Right.
Counted manually by vote counters and vote watchers. Sworn to the vote count by the penalty of perjury and so on, right?
Absolutely. And it rolled up from each of the precincts. And each one of them was hand-carried to the next one. I mean, this thing can happen. And it happened during the Kennedy-Nixon election. I mean, I remember going to bed that night about midnight or 1 o'clock. I don't remember for sure. Something like that. But it was like, we don't know for sure who the winner is. It's still tight. They had it figured out before morning. I just wasn't awake. But the fact of the
matter
is,
they love to do that because then they can pull their shenanigans at night as well. So there you have it.
Some of that stuff happened with Jack Kennedy, that's for sure.
Now there's a final battle before the end of the hour I want to highlight. Trump, quote, arrest Jack Smith after special counsel admits lying to the court. So I guess Jack Smith admitted that some of his people lied to the court. WND.com with this piece. And Donald is saying, you know what? Go arrest Jack Smith. I agree with the point that you can't lie to the courts. That's criminal. That's beyond perjury, especially if you're in the prosecutory positions. But we need to remember due process, though. I mean, I don't just think we ought to just reach out and grab Jack Smith and arrest him. We need due process. But where's the starting of the trials against these clowns that are literally lying to the courts and getting away with it? Look, in Ammon Bundy's case in Nevada, the government, the FBI, the Justice Department literally lied to the court, too. Nobody got in any trouble for it at all. So this is becoming the order of the day in the immoral society that we find ourselves in, Doctor.
It absolutely is. And the what's her name, Fanny, down there in Georgia. I mean, the shenanigans of that case, for example. But everything, I mean, it's like what Jack Smith did had to do with the classified documents that they seized at Trump's place. And how they've juggled things around, it's difficult to keep continuity with it. But, yeah, they lied to the courts. And when Fannie Smith, what's her last name anyway in Georgia? Anyway, when she's got her lover there that she's hired for, what, $600,000 or something, that's a special prosecutor? I mean, come
Fannie
on,
Willis
people.
Is her name.
Willis, yeah. Anyway, fact of the matter is we go back to that 1971. We talked about this last Friday, the 1971 Billy Jack movie. Again, a cult movie, not exactly highly recommended in terms of a lot of things, but there were some classic lines in it. When the police break the law, there is no law. And if the prosecuting attorney, if the attorney general of the state of Utah breaks the law, that's really brings into question. And we could talk about that one at length, too, about some of the stuff that's going on there. But the fact of the matter is that the senior officers, when they've seized the sole control, and they've become the manipulator of the law. Bastiat talked about this in his 1850 book, The Law. Read The Law, the book. You'll cheer all the way through if you love liberty. But Bastiat said, when the gendarmes become the allies of those that are seeking to plunder, then we're in real trouble. And the gendarme, he was French, okay? So when the police are the allies of those that are seeking to use the law for their benefit, we're in real trouble. And in America today, we're in real trouble. We really, truly are. And it's time for a wake-up call, and Americans got to quit the circus and bread stuff going on that they've been doing for so long.
Well, that's a tall order because, man, people are, they've been trained to sin their whole lives. And they've been trained to sin their whole lives, and they're steeped in wickedness right now. And until we can turn people to God, what we need is righteous preachers in the pulpit. That's for sure. But we need righteous people to stand up and be counted. And there's starting to be more of it. I even see some Latino preachers now, believe it or not, that came to the United States. They now have their citizenship. And they're taking Trump's side and saying we've got to promote religion in America. Now, when I say taking Trump's side, there's a little disconnect in that. How do you, you know, stand for religion and back Trump, who's been an immoral guy for virtually his whole life? But at the same time, I see a lot of good, though. People are coming to the knowledge of the truth. Instead of the Hispanics and the blacks and everybody else being, you know, hardcore Democrats, they're starting to think for themselves, and they're starting to reject the narrative they've been lied to about for so long. And this church leader that I'm mentioning, I'll get into an article about him another day soon. But you've literally got these Latino preachers now standing up and saying, we've got to have, the black-robed regiment in modern times. And they're right as rain about that, Doctor. And that is, in my opinion, turning people to Christ is the ultimate solution. It's better than the sword, sir, in terms of making a difference. Your final thoughts? We've got about 30 seconds.
Okay, well, that's the problem, is we got the religion of America. It's a secular, humanist, godless, faith-based system where situational ethics has become the watchword of the day. So they're preaching from that pulpit every day in our public education systems. We need to return to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if you will, and the Holy Bible, and let's go back to that, and let's correct this thing. Quit listening to the preachers in the education system, because they're false educators and religionists.
All right, freedomsrisingsun.com for Dr. Bradley, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net for this radio broadcast and more. Spread the word, share the love, donate liberally, and God save the Republic.